Reading this morning comes from two different places. The first place will be in Exodus chapter 20, and the second place will be in Matthew chapter 5. Exodus chapter 20, verse 15, one of the shortest verses in the scriptures, and then Matthew 5. Let's pay careful attention to God's holy word. You shall not steal. And then Matthew chapter 5. I'm sorry, actually chapter 6, verses 19 through 21. Sermon on the Mount. Matthew 6, 19 to 21. For do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. That's the reading of God's word this morning. We live in a time in which America's economy is booming. The stock market is at an all-time high. Unemployment levels are at a record low. We see interest rates lower than they have been in years, and many people are buying things even beyond their means. And you would think that with an economy that is going so well, that the rate of theft would also be going down. You would think that in a country in which there is so much prosperity, in a country in which people are able to buy things perhaps that they should not even buy, stealing and theft would also be at a record low. But the truth is, the opposite is the case. Theft is also at an all-time high. And people are becoming very creative in the way that they are able to steal from others. Each day we hear stories about people who receive phone calls and get scammed, being promised something for their money and getting nothing in return. We hear stories of investment salesmen befriending older people and telling them how they should invest their money and then taking their money and giving them nothing in return. This week, I saw a story on the news in which people have been receiving Social Security checks from their relatives that have since passed away and cashing them in for their own benefit. A strong economy and economic prosperity has not reduced the rate of theft. And so this morning, as we begin looking at this eighth commandment, we must look at it from the perspective of what God is saying. How does God view theft? How does God teach His people about theft and why it should be not done? As God is giving this commandment in Exodus chapter 20, His people are looking at one another and what they have. And what is it that they have? For 400 years they have been living in Egypt. They have been living as slaves that received no wage for their labors. As slaves, they had nothing, they earned nothing, and each person was poor. But God, in His grace, gave them something as they left the land of Egypt. And you'll find that in Exodus chapter 12, verses 35 through 36. And here we read this. The Israelites did as Moses instructed and asked the Egyptians for articles of silver and gold and for clothing. The Lord had made the Egyptians favorably disposed toward the people, and they gave them what they asked for. So they plundered the Egyptians. Israel, living in the land of slavery, had no wage. They had no earnings. But God gave to his people wealth. He gave to his people silver and gold. As they left the land of Egypt, the Egyptians poured out these possessions to the Israelites. They asked for them, and they were given these things. Were they given these things because the Egyptians decided, after all, that they liked them? Were they given these things because the Egyptians decided, after all, that as their slaves, they deserved these things? No, in Exodus chapter 12, we read that there was only one reason that they received anything. God made the Egyptians favorably disposed towards the people. God had just given the 10th plague upon the Egyptian people. They had lost their firstborn sons. The Egyptians were spared of this punishment and of this plague. I'm sorry, the Israelites were spared of this plague because of the blood of a lamb. And as they left Egypt, they left with gold and with silver. God gave them what they had. And it was the same way as they entered the promised land. Turn to Joshua chapter 13. In the book of Joshua, chapter 13, we read of Israel entering into the land of Canaan and conquering the land under Joshua. And as they entered this land that God had promised as their inheritance, was it land that they earned or that they deserved? It was land that God gave to them by His grace. It was God who pulled the walls of Jericho down. It was God who led them in battle as they attacked these foreign enemies. It was God who gave them the victory over their enemies in this land. And in Joshua chapter 13, verses 6 through 7, we read this. As for all the inhabitants of the mountain regions, from Lebanon to Misrephoth-Maim, that is, all the Sidonians, I myself will drive them out before the Israelites. Be sure to allocate this land to Israel for an inheritance, as I have instructed you, and divide it as an inheritance among the 9 tribes and the half tribe of Manasseh. Israel received this land as a gift. God gave it to them as their inheritance. This is what God had promised to each Israelite as they entered this land. It was divided up by tribe and by family and by person, and it was given to each one as God's ordained gift to each one. And so, as God gives this 8th commandment, and He tells the people, "You shall not steal," what God is telling them is this: I have given each person wealth and possessions. That's what I have ordained. For you to steal from me is for you to say, "You have not given me enough, God. I need to take someone else's stuff that you have given them. Lord, I am discontent with you. I need more than what you have given me. I'm going to take what you have given someone else." And what that person then is doing is they are taking from another person what God has ordained to give to that person, and ultimately they are stealing from God Himself. How did they acquire the silver and gold as they stood before Mount Sinai? It was God's grace. How did they acquire the land and the possessions they had in this land? It was God's grace. God has ordained how much His people have. God has ordained how they should live. And God has said, don't steal what I have given to someone else. And so, as Christians, we should not steal. And in Matthew chapter 6, as I read a moment ago, we read that Jesus picks up on this commandment, and he tells his disciples this: "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." God is declaring through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, that there is no stealing in heaven. There is no theft. There are no thieves in heaven. Why? Is it because they have such a good police force up there? Is it because of the death penalty that comes for anyone who steals? No. The reason that there is no theft in heaven is because the people that are in heaven have all that they need. While in heaven, they have their Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who has come down to this earth and has died for them, who has poured out his blood for them. And so as they live in heaven, they live knowing Christ by his grace for him. They will not hunger nor thirst in heaven because they have Jesus. And so as Jesus is describing this, as he gives this Sermon on the Mount, he is telling us not to put your hearts upon things of this earth. Don't put your thoughts on things where moth and rust can destroy, where thieves can break in and steal. Where your treasure is, that is where your heart will be also. You see, if you have Jesus as your Lord and your Savior, and if you know him as you ought, you should have no desire to steal. Because in Christ, you should have everything that you need. Because in Christ, you should need nothing more. And so, even as we live today, we must always remember that what we have, God has ordained for us to have. What our neighbor has, God has ordained for them to have. We are not to steal what God has given to someone else. If we take what God has given to someone else, we take from God. And so, what are we to do? We'll turn to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 4. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 28. Paul tells God's people this: "He who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with his own hands, that he may have something to share with those in need." You see, Paul describes life in the kingdom of heaven as a life in which there should be no need to steal. There should be no need for anyone to take what God has given to someone else. There should be no need for that kind of thing, because in the kingdom of heaven, you should not take shortcuts. Someone who steals is taking a shortcut. They don't want to work for what they have. They think they deserve what someone else has. They don't want to work for it. They just want to take it. And so as Paul describes this in Ephesians chapter 4, he is telling the people not only that they must not steal, but that they must work. That they must do something useful with their own hands. And as they work, God will provide. As they work, they will have things. As they work, there will be no need to steal or to take a shortcut. And what does it say at the end? That he may have something to share with those in need. You see, there are people that are less fortunate. There are people who do not have everything that they need. But it would not be right for them to steal. But for the Christian, the duty is to work, to do something useful. And if God so provides, to give to those in need. Paul is describing how America should work. Paul is describing how a Christian should work. Now remember, we said at the beginning that despite a booming economy, theft is up. Why? Because people want to take shortcuts. People don't want to work for what they have. Instead, they want to steal. Instead, they want to cut corners. Instead, they want to do something that causes them to give no effort so that they can have things that others have and that others have worked for. And they don't understand that God has given people the things that they have. God has given them what they have. God has given others what they have. They look at people in terms of individuals. I see myself as an individual, and I see that other person as an individual, and that person as an individual doesn't have a right to have more than I have as an individual. They don't know God. They don't understand God. They don't know that they are stealing from God because they don't believe in God. But as Christians who believe in God, you must know and understand that each thing that you have, God has given you. You must be happy and content with what God has given you. You must not be tempted to steal and to think that you need more than what God has given you, that you need to take what God has given to someone else. We don't look at people in terms of individuals. We look at people, Christian and non-Christian, as people that God has given things to, and we have the duty not to steal from them. Now I realize this morning that I'm not talking to a group of people in which it is common for them to go to stores, such as Walmart, and take things off the shelves and leave without paying. Most of us have probably not done those types of things. Yet, as we look at this command takes this understanding a step further. You see, you need to ask yourself, why do I not take something off the shelf for my own? Is the only reason that I don't do that because I'm afraid of the alarms going off when I leave the store? Is the reason I don't do that because I'm afraid of the police or because I might get caught if I did such a thing? Is that your only reason for not stealing? Or is your reason because you know that you don't belong to this earth, that your heart is not set on things that rust and moth destroy, but that you, as you live on this earth, reflect the kingdom of heaven? As we read the Catechism a moment ago, it says this in answer 74. The eighth commandment requireth the lawful procuring and furthering the wealth and outward of state of ourselves and our neighbor. Let's say you're in the store, and as you go through the checkout line, the clerk misreads the tag And you walk out and you realize you've gotten something for much less than what you should have. Keeping the eighth commandment means that you go back and correct it. Let's say you're walking outside of the store and you find a wallet sitting on the street. And you find money within that wallet and you know that it's not yours. No one's going to find out. The police aren't going to arrest you because you found it and took a 20 out of there. But you know that it's not yours. You know that God has given that to someone else and not to you. And so you bring it back and you turn it in. You see, part of keeping this commandment is not only looking out for yourself, it's also encouraging others in their wealth. That means that you understand that what's not yours, you don't take, but that you encourage others to have what's theirs. You find some money on the living room floor. You know it's not yours, it's your older brother's. Do you stick it in your pocket? Or do you give it back to the one you know whose it is? That's encouraging the wealth of your neighbor. That is doing what the Catechism describes. That is furthering the wealth and the outward estate of yourself and of your neighbor. Turn to the book of 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 6. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we command you, brothers, to keep away from every brother who is idle and does not live according to the teaching you receive from us. For you yourselves know how you ought to follow our example. We were not idle when we were with you, nor did we eat anyone's food without paying for it. On the contrary, we worked night and day, laboring and toiling so that we would not be a burden to any of you. We did this not because we do not have the right to such help, but in order to make ourselves a model for you to follow. For even when we were with you, we gave you this rule: if a man will not work, he shall not eat. We hear that some among you are idle. They are not busy, they are busybodies. Such people we command and urge in the Lord Jesus Christ to settle down and earn the bread that they eat. And as for you, brothers, never tire of doing what is right. Paul commands God's people to not be idle, to not cut corners, to not steal, but to earn your wage, to know that God has given it to you as a blessing for what you have done on this earth, and to also look out for others. Amen. Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for this eighth commandment. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity you have given each one of us to earn things here on this earth and to live. And we thank you, Lord, for the things that you have ordained to give us that we may enjoy while on this earth. And we pray, Lord, that you would help each one of us not to be idle, not to be tempted to steal or discontent with the things that you have given us. But help us to realize that what we have, you have ordained for us, and what others have, you have ordained for them. Help us to earn not only our own estate, but to encourage the wealth of others in their estate. Help us to realize what is not ours, and to give back to others what is theirs. Lord, we pray that you would help us to live out what the Lord Jesus has purchased for us, that we as your people would be mirrors of the kingdom of heaven, that, Lord, we would reflect the no theft in heaven as we live here on this earth, that others would see us in the way we conduct ourselves in this area of our lives and see the reflection of the Lord Jesus Christ and our heavenly home. We pray all these things, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.